So yeah, we're back with Ollie talking about Greenhouse Theatre. So yeah, Greenhouse Theatre obviously is selling itself on its eco-friendly credentials. This is something, the whole environmental debate at the moment is something we're seeing more and more in theatre. We saw recently with handlebars, and I'm seeing it a lot more in sort of conversation, not just in the plays, but in the actual theatres themselves. Is this something you think you're at the forefront of? Do you think it's something the theatre needs to be doing more of?
Two great questions. To answer the first one, I think it is something that we're kind of leading and challenging on. We're really excited to be the UK's first zero waste venue. And we're excited to, a big part of what we do is try to set examples and kind of lead the way for other organizations to say, oh, actually, you know, putting sustainability at our core and making sure that we think about sustainability first and foremost doesn't at all mean that we sacrifice quality. In fact, for us, we think it means we end up making better shows. So we're hoping that we're kind of leading by example. And then what was the second question? Does theatre have a role in the climate crisis, right? Yeah, absolutely it does. Our kind of thesis and the reason that we do what we do is because the history of climate change communication is a history of data, of facts and figures. And obviously all those numbers and facts and figures are very, very important. But we know that countless studies have shown that humans are no good at understanding on a kind of personal level, on an empirical level, what a number means. Once we get to about 15, we largely lose the ability to imagine a number. And so, you know, for an issue that is so important, so hot, and so relevant, to be continuing to communicate in that way is not effective because that's not how you drive behavior change. So what we do is we use the power of performance and storytelling to kind of say, we know that you know the facts. And to be clear, people do know the facts. About 80% of people in the UK are worried about the impact that the climate change is going to have on their lives. That number varies slightly depending on who you're talking to, but that's the kind of big figure. So people know the issue. The problem is they aren't ready to act. And for many reasons, Timothy Morton, who's an academic from the US, suggests basically he has this theory called the theory of hyperobjectivity, which suggests that climate change is such a challenging, huge, scary, terrifying issue that it's just impossible for humans to understand it. It transcends time and space in such a way that a human being, an individual human being, just can't wrap their head around. And so he goes on to say that really means that the facts and figures aren't useful when talking about it. And he suggests really we need art and philosophy to guide us and to push us forward so that we can understand it on an emotional level. Because at the end of the day, that's what storytelling and performance does so well. It helps people build personal and emotional connections with anything, with any topic. And for us, that topic is the climate crisis. So we're hoping that when people come to the greenhouse, and we know that when people come to the greenhouse, we're not here to teach them because they know, people know already. We're here to help them build those emotional and personal connections with the natural world so that they don't feel like they have to do something. They don't feel like they're being forced to do something, but they almost reawaken their connection with the natural world and feel like it's something they really want to do and want to act to protect in their day-to-day lives.
Is there any, do you not find there's any contradiction between being sort of obviously yourself and Canary Wharf? Now, Canary Wharf to me is sort of full of sort of the international banks and international businesses that are probably the ones holding us back from environmental change. Do you not feel there's a contradiction there?
You know, in one, you could put it like that. The other way to look at it, I think, is twofold. Firstly, Canary Wharf itself is doing a really brilliant job in their sustainability efforts. They, across the Canary Wharf estate, they have zero waste to landfill. So nothing that is used on the estate goes to landfill, which is really incredible. And they have really other exciting sustainability ambitions as well. In response to the kind of tenants on the estate, I would say, yes, there is a problem there. But at the same time, if we're not, you know, we don't need to be preaching to the choir. We're, you know, people who are already acting to protect the environment. We would love them to come see our shows, but they're not the, you know, they aren't the habits that we necessarily need to change. And so by being in this heart of a place where capitalism rules and where, you know, there are these organizations that are doing a lot to damage the environment, actually, I would say if we want to make an impact, here's the perfect place to be.
Brilliant. And I mean, you've also talked about Edinburgh Fringe for these, obviously the probably the paper waste at Edinburgh Fringe, isn't it? Is massive. So is that, I mean, you was Edinburgh in 2019 with this project, wasn't you?
Yes, we were indeed, yeah.
And do you think Edinburgh is slowly changing? They're talking about going ticketless at least, which is one big step forward, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Edinburgh is. I think Edinburgh is slowly changing. I don't think it's changing fast enough. I have some strong opinions about it, and yeah, you know, it's something that we've been thinking about and looking at for a while. There are a lot of issues that aren't just the issue of sustainability, and I think those issues really need to start being at the highest level of the fringe. Even though they bill themselves as open access, you know, it's their gift to change that if they want to change the way that they make the rules. And I really think the highest level of the fringe needs to start thinking about implementing rules and actions to change that.
Do you think the last year has made them start looking internally more?
I think so, and I hope so. And you know, we have been doing some really positive work with them, kind of just after the summer of 2020. It kind of petered off a little bit, so we'd really love to get back to working with them again and set up a partnership. But it has died down a little bit. I'm cautiously hopeful that there has been a call for change and that it will be heeded by the powers that be in the fringe landscape.
Now, and I mean, one thing I noticed as well, looking at sort of your website, talking about, obviously, it's not just about the show. The venue is there to, is it almost like an exhibition, or can people sort of come and have a look around and learn more from it that way? There's more going on than just a show, isn't there?
That's exactly right, yeah. So firstly, yeah, if you're interested, do pop down. We'd be really happy to show you around. It's not a huge space, but we'd be really happy to show you around and kind of talk you through it and answer any questions that you have. As well as that, we've also got a program of events and workshops, everything from how to mend clothes to a children's story time that I'll be leading. Like there's a scavenger hunt, there's a pub night, lots of things. Some of them are designed to kind of help convert inspiration into action. So like giving practical tips and advice on how to actually, you know, live and work more sustainably. Some of them are more designed to create a social atmosphere. Again, a key problem I think with the climate debate is because it is so large and terrifying, it's really easy to feel lonely and isolated. And so for us, it's very important to create a social atmosphere so that all the work that we're doing feels collective and fits together.
Excellent. Right. And I think finally, last sort of wrap it up now, but what's the plan? So you're there till what, mid-August?
The 15th of August, yeah.
15th of August. And then sort of pack it all up. And then you've got other things in the pipeline, have you?
Yeah, so we've got a couple of things in the pipeline, which is really exciting. Just working on that for kind of the end of this year. But we've got a lot of space for some bits around the end of this year and the beginning of next year. So if anyone, a theatre, a country house, anywhere is interested in having the UK's first zero waste theatre on site, head to our website. Please do drop me an email. We're really excited to kind of tour and get out and about as much as we can. So yeah, you know, reach out if that's something you're interested in.
How much space do you need? I'll take it. It's not massive. You don't need a nice big garden space, really.
A nice big garden space will do it. It's modular as well, so it can be slightly bigger or slightly smaller. The current footprint is a square with 9 meter sides. So if you've got a square with 9 meter sides, be it on grass or be it on tarmac, hit us up.
Excellent. I would definitely, I'd say what we'll do is we'll make sure there's links to this, to your website for people to book tickets.
Yeah.
And obviously to see some more information. It does sound a fascinating project. Sort of, just ask one thing about it. How long have you been working on this then? You started in 2019?
2019 was the pilot, and then we've basically been planning for 18 months. Obviously, what with COVID happening, we had obviously plans for 2020, but they all had to go on hold. And unfortunately, because somewhat unfortunately and somewhat fortunately, because we were a young and quite a small company, we didn't really have the resilience as other larger theatres did to kind of stay open and keep making work during that time. But we spent that time working on the business and planning, and we've got big ambitions to hopefully at some point before 2026 or seven, hopefully we will be able to find a permanent home for the greenhouse, which would be really exciting.
Oh, fantastic. It's been absolutely fascinating talking to you, Ollie. Thanks for taking your time.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Best of luck. So I know we're there Friday night reviewing. So hopefully.
Yes, very exciting.
I know Mike's quite excited about it. It's Mike, who's come down to see you, actually done the handlebars recently as well, which he absolutely loved. Yeah, I know that was a 5-star review. So fingers crossed for your show as well.
Yes, indeed.
So it should be an interesting one. Thanks for your time. It's been a pleasure talking to you, Ollie. And I hope to see you again soon.
Yes, thanks for having me. Bye-bye.